You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we unpack your word each night at Bible school, I pray that it would, Father, not only be rich and deep, but Lord, it would cause us to grow in you. Father, we thank you for the richness of teaching that we do receive at LMC, both in the school, in the church, in the chapels, in the youth, in the children's ministry. But Lord God, I just know that your word is such a powerful tool. And as your word indicates to us, it washes us, it leads us, it keeps us from sinning. It is food and life to us. And so, Lord, we just pray that again, as we unpack your word, that it would be a fresh revelation. And, Father, that we would grow in you because of it. So we just ask your Holy Spirit to take control tonight and to reveal everything that we need to know, even now in Jesus' name. Amen. This year, we've chosen the subject, the mission of the Holy Spirit, and we've done that because there's so much truth, there's so much richness in regard to the Holy Spirit, and it's an area that oftentimes a church like ours, which might be classed as a Pentecostal charismatic church, everyone just thinks we know all about it. But there are, again, so many people that move into our church that don't have any understanding of what we believe, what we teach. But also, I think, from a Christian point of view, the world has moved on from being anti-Holy Spirit and pigeonholing things and pushing the Spirit away. And tonight, I hope that you will see why I say that. So I want you to have an open mind tonight. What I'm going to share is something I shared a couple of years ago. And what I share next week will be the same. But I want to do that because it brings foundation, it brings base, it gives us something to build on as we go through the rest of the year. And so the notes that Dale has written, the notes that will be going out into the home groups, into the youth ministry, as well as the senior home groups, including tonight and including the nights that we go ahead, they all form a foundation. And we're not just going to be looking at, let's say, the gifts or the fruit. We're going to look at every aspect of the Holy Spirit throughout the year. And the notes that Dale have written are incredibly rich, incredibly deep. And again, it's important that we just dig deep into this mine field of just beautiful, beautiful information. And so I don't want you just to think, well, I've heard it all before. I don't need to hear it again, because I don't think we have heard it all before. I think the truth and the word of God is me that keeps on being revealed to us. And so if you have heard what I'm saying tonight, then open your ears and let the Spirit reveal himself afresh to you. As I said, I want to take away some of the misconceptions. I grew up in a Methodist church, and as far as our church was concerned, the Holy Spirit we knew was a third part of the Godhead, never spoken about, didn't know what he did. There was no mention at all. And when we started coming here to Bible school, as a matter of fact, and started to hear about the Holy Spirit, people speaking in tongues and all of that, it was as if I was of the devil. My minister didn't want anything to do with me, didn't want to know anything about it. In fact, it was just a chop, cut, gone, finished thing. And unfortunately, that's what happened so much back then. And so much teaching went out there that there's an awful lot of stuff in our heads that alienate us from the fullness of the Godhead because of the teaching we've had. So tonight and next week is going to be really, really, really foundational, so that we understand why we're going to speak the way we do and what we're going to build on top of. So firstly, we need to understand why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us in the first place. When Jesus was departing, he told his disciples this. Can we have the next scripture? Thanks. He said, John 16:7, and if you've got your Bibles, it'll be good for you to look at them. I love it when people look at their Bibles, because that means that they're not only seeing, hearing, but they're seeing where it is in their Bible. And it might be that you underline it. It might be that you scribble a little note next to it. Whatever the case may be, it's important that you open your Bibles. And your versions might be different to mine as well, so you might see different words. This is a bit expanded because I've altered, or not altered as such, but I've added to and made the words a little bit more descriptive. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it's profitable, it's good, it's expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. So this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And then he says, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, now listen to some of the words of the Holy Spirit, or some of the words that describe who the Holy Spirit is. He's a Comforter, Counselor, Helper, an Advocate, an Intercessor, a Strengthener, a Standby. That's what that actually means. That's how you unpack that. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you. That is, in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So Jesus is telling us, hey, it's good that I go away, because in going away, I can send you the Holy Spirit, who is going to be all those things to help you. So straight away, we start to understand that Jesus has said that he needed to go, because if he didn't go, we wouldn't get the Holy Spirit. So we have to understand right there, the Holy Spirit's important. The Holy Spirit forms a part of our lives and forms a part of the ministry that God wants for us. So why did Jesus say this? By the way, these notes, I didn't print them off for you. They will be on the website tomorrow. I didn't print them off because I wanted you to listen, because I will amplify a lot of this. So why did Jesus say this? Because he knew that without the Holy Spirit, we would never be able to achieve what he was commissioning us to do. Let me say that again. Without the Holy Spirit's help, without the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Counselor, the Comforter, we would not be able to do what Jesus was going to tell us to do, what he was going to commission us to do. And apart from that, we would never be able to stand up against the onslaughts of the enemy. And if for no other reason, in the day that we live, the onslaughts of the enemy are so strong that we need the Holy Spirit to help us in being able just to walk the walk that God has called us to do. Now back there, Jesus knew what the disciples' faith was like. Just before he died, remembering they had spent 3.5 years walking with him in ministry. They had watched Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle. They'd prayed with him, they'd ministered with him, they'd talked with him, they'd sat with him. He had chosen these 12 to spend 3.5 years. What an incredible apprenticeship program. What an incredible opportunity just to sit and to catch the ministry of Jesus. These guys had done that. 3.5 years they walked with Jesus. Obeyed him, saw him do the stuff. But just before his death, these disciples deserted him. Peter denied him 3 times. They fell asleep when he asked them to pray. They ran. They deserted him. They weren't there in his time of need. And not only that, but in Mark 16, it goes on to record that not only after his death, but even having told them that he was going to be resurrected, even having told them some of the things that were going to happen, when they were confronted with Jesus' resurrection, they didn't believe. And Jesus, in Mark 16, records that 3 times. Finally, in the upper room, after his resurrection, where he appears to the disciples, where he lets doubting Thomas feel his hands, look at the side, he rebukes them. He rebukes them with this scripture in Mark 16. He says, he rebuked them for their lack of faith, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So here we are, disciples ministering and walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. All of the things that they saw him do, all of the teaching that he gave them, even to the point of telling them what was going to happen at his death and what was going to happen after his death, the resurrection. And these would not believe. So Jesus rebukes them. But having rebuked them, having chastised them for their lack of faith, immediately he goes on in the next verse, in verse 15 to 18, and gives them this great commission. And let's look at that again. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. How was this pack of weak, unbelieving men who had deserted him going to do all of this? Just think of it. Peter runs and denies Jesus, and then all of a sudden he's being told to go out and preach the gospel, to preach to the whole world. Now, we know it worked, because 2,000 years later, the church is thriving. We might think it's dying. That might be in the West, but it's not dying in the world. The church is growing at an amazing rate. You know, if it wasn't going to happen, it would have died long ago. There's not that many things that keep on keeping on for 2,000 years. So again, how was this pack of weak, unbelieving men who deserted him going to achieve this great commission? Easy. Jesus knew that he was going to send them a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, a standby, who is going to come inside them, who is going to walk with them, who is going to be that ministry power that they needed to do the work that God called them to do. They wouldn't have to rely on their own strength. They were being given power from on high. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power, dunamis, like dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and all, to all the ends of the earth. And that word witnesser literally means martyr. So not only will you receive power to do those things, but you'll be receiving power so strong that you won't run away next time you get confronted. When there's persecution comes against you, you won't feel like deserting the cause, but that you would be like a Stephen, prepared to be stoned, prepared to be martyred for the cause. Now, I don't think that there's that many in this room who would raise their hand and say, I'll be a martyr. But around the world today, there are many. There are many who are being martyred for their faith. We live in an incredible country, an incredible free country. But the truth of the matter is, when you think about it right now, there is coming upon the Church of Australia, the Christians of Australia, a little bit of persecution. You only have to read in the newspaper. You only have to look and listen on the radio. More and more and more, there is an attack against Christians. 10 years ago, we were not fair game. You know, you wouldn't pick on a person because they are a Christian. The media wouldn't give us a hard time like they are. But now, it's as if there's a Christophobia out there in the world today. And we are seriously taking it. And it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. We're going to have to know what we know and know how to walk in that power that God has given us. We haven't got time to go into all the miracles, but I encourage you to read the book of Acts. Look at all the miracles that were performed. Read on and see how Peter, the one who denied Jesus, actually got up and preached on the same steps, the same place where he actually denied Jesus himself, in front of those same men that had persecuted him or had given him a hard time. It wasn't his strength. It was supernatural power from on high that enabled him to do it. You know, we're not much different from the disciples. We're only going to see our world changed if we tap into that same power that those disciples tapped into after Jesus commissioned them, after they waited in that room for that power to come on high. So the question has to be, well, how do we get that power? When do we get that power? When and how do we get the Holy Spirit? Now, again, I say this very carefully. This is where some of the teaching might change from what true Pentecostals have been taught. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to unpack the Word of God as we see it, that impacts all and fits all. And I think, as you will see, what I'm going to say right now fits. If you don't believe, if you don't understand, if you don't accept, then do some digging yourself. But listen and let's see what we come up with. According to Romans 8, 9, it says, if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It is not truly a child of God. There's a lot of whistling noise. What is that? Can we... Can you close that door for me? I'm glad they're having fun. I tell you what, that is fantastic to see that happening down there. These guys just love soccer. They love football. And to see them come onto the property to do church and then to do social time afterwards together is just a rich thing. So we'll just close the doors and stop the whistle. They are having fun, aren't they? If anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. So the way I see it, the way I believe Scripture is saying, according to this Scripture, every person who belongs to Christ has access to the fullness of God's power. The minute that we ask Christ to come into our life, we plug in to a power source. We get a cord, well, not really. We go around, we find the PowerPoint, and we plug in. Okay, it's plugged in. The minute we plug in, it's not really. It is, but it's not, because if I did, the lights would come on, and I don't want the lights to come on. Just believe right now that we're plugged into the power source. Okay, the minute we get saved, we are plugged into the power source. There is power there. That power is God. There's me. I accept Jesus Christ into my life. And right now I've plugged into the power source. Everything that was in that cable, the potential that was in that cable now runs into me. And everything and anything that is plugged into that power board is available to me. Now I'm not saying that we use them all. But it's there, it's available. You know, we could turn the switch off and the lights would go out. But that doesn't mean the power's gone. It just means we turned the switch off. The minute we turn the switch on, all the lights come on. The power is there. The power of God is made available to us because the Spirit of God comes into us the minute we get saved, the minute we ask Jesus into our life. That's what that scripture says. If anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. So, if we possess Christ, if we ask Christ to in our life, obviously the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, when you go through the Bible, you will see this described, I think, in many different ways. We are born of the Spirit, one scripture says. We have received the Spirit, another scripture says. We have the Holy Spirit falling on us, another passage says. We are endued from on high with the Holy Spirit, another scripture says. Another one says we're baptized in the Spirit. Now, baptized basically just means immersed. We are immersed. We are fully filled with the Spirit. And then another one says we are given power from on high. So all of those things, all of those scriptures literally are talking about the same event. Now if you think about it, we see that happen in the Bible often. You know, if I say to you, how do you get saved? Somebody give me a scripture that tells me how to get saved. Maybe John 3:16. For God so loved the world that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So believing in Jesus gets you saved. But we know that the Bible also says that demons believe. So believing is not enough. Oh, another scripture says confess with your mouth and you're saved. Another one says confess and be baptized and you're saved. Are they all different? Are they all different salvations? Are they different acts? No, they're just describing the same thing in a different way. And so when we look at these scriptures and when we look at those different terminologies and phrases, they're talking about the same thing. Everything that Jesus promised back there to his disciples when he described why he had to go away becomes ours. Right now, in the bank. You don't need an unlock code. You don't get half of it and then if you want more, you've got to pay more. You get the whole bang lot. Right there, everything available to you. Have a look at Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. It says, in him you also who have heard of the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to him, and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruit, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know, there's another scripture that actually says, it says it's a taste of the power of the age to come. Where it says down payment there, you know, when we go and buy a house, we put a deposit down. And then we take possession of it and we pay out that deposit in full. It becomes ours. We have scripture says an earnest. A down payment. The Spirit is a down payment, a taste of what is to come. Not a taste of what is to come on earth. Everything that we have now is everything we need, all available to us. But it's still only a down payment. It's still only a taste of what is to come in the future. We have been filled with every spiritual blessing, the Bible says. So, really, from now on, it's by faith that we go and we start to use the tools that God has given us. The way I see it is oftentimes we don't use the tools that we have because we don't know about them or we haven't had them described to us. Or maybe we have a little bit of fear because of them. Or maybe they look or sound strange. Or maybe the teaching we've had has robbed us from going deeper into the things of God. The money is in the bank. The power of God is there in the bank for us. Already in us. Waiting for us to step out in faith and start using it. So let's quickly look at some of the benefits we tap into when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Now, as I go through these benefits, you know, past teaching would say, well, that's a second experience. This is a first experience, that's a second experience. I don't believe that. And as I go through them, if you think that there is a second experience, then just work out for me, don't yell out, just work out as we're going what you think you got in the first experience and what you think you're going to get in the second experience. From my teaching and from the teaching that I grew up with, there's only one thing that you got on the second experience out of all of the things I'm going to share with you. And there's lots. There's lots of things that we get. All the same Spirit. All now ready for us to use. First of all, we get the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to the next. That's it. I'll open these up. The fruit of the Spirit. So we get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All available to us right now. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit. You shall know them by the fruit, the Bible says. And then we get the gifts of the Spirit. Well, let me give you a list of the gifts just in case you need to know. Prophesying. Serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, showing mercy, messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these, the Bible says, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, I think as we go along and as we continue to talk over the weeks and months ahead, you will find that even some of the teaching that people would have heard, you know, well, you've got miracles, you've got healings, you've got faith. I don't see that is the way it works. Sure, there are some that operate in that more freely than others, but I believe that it's all there ready for us. And if we're in a situation that we need it, the power is there. We just turn on the tap and start to use it. So if we're in a situation and we're fighting something that looks a bit demonic, then we should be able to turn on that tap and get a discernment of what spirit is operating there. And at that same token, we should use the power exercised in us to be able to deliver and set free. Same with word of wisdom. We're in a meeting and God, just I need help right now. God, I just turn on that power right now. I just draw down on that spirit that's within me right now. I just need wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom come upon us. Outworks. Now, some operate that in all the time. Others, turns on, turns off. But again, just think of that list. So we've got fruit. We've got all of those gifts. But then the Bible gives us the graces of the Holy Spirit. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. These notes are on the website tomorrow morning. You can pull them down. You can open them up yourself. So there's three things made up of lots and lots and lots of attributes, tools that we have available to us to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. But we also have the power to witness, the ability to achieve all that Jesus has instructed us to do. We have the ability to exalt and to glorify Christ. As I said a minute ago, we have a taste of the power of the world to come. We have a down payment. If the Holy Spirit and all of these attributes are ours right now, just imagine what heaven's going to be like. Just imagine what it is like in that next stage of our eternity. If we've only got a taste and this is what it's like, imagine what God has got for us to do in the world to come. Help with our prayer life. A new and a greater understanding of the Word. John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of things that you didn't even know. Holy Spirit is there as a daily guide to help us to do the things that we need to do, to guide us, to be led by. Holy Spirit lives within us to give life to our mortal bodies. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and shall quicken, shall make alive your mortal body. You know, our bodies naturally heal themselves. If you cut yourself, I know, scab will form, new skin will form. We have this incredible thing in our bodies that will naturally heal. But we also have the Spirit of God that quickens, makes alive our mortal bodies. Beyond that, pouring out of God's own love into our hearts. And then finally, to strengthen and to increase our faith. What an amazing thing. The minute we plug in to God, the minute we become a Christian, the minute the Spirit of God comes within us, every one of those things that I've just read you become ours. I don't think you need a second experience. I don't think you need to go and dip again and again and again. I don't get saved every day. I'm saved. That doesn't mean that I don't have to ask forgiveness. It doesn't mean that I don't have to seek cleansing. But I'm saved. Eternity is guaranteed. Right now, Holy Spirit dwells within us, and everything that Jesus said we were going to do, we've been given the equipper to do it. All we have to do is turn it on. All we have to do is start using it. You know, one of the deceits of the enemy, I think, is to make us believe that there are more steps. Well, you get this little bit, and when you pass that, you get that. When you've done that, you get that. And then you've got to go and do this, and you get that. And you've got to do this, and you get that. And I've found that that has been the most frustrating thing for so many people. God has given us all we need to walk the walk of an overcomer for ourselves. But not only that, he's given us all we need to do, all we need to be able to do the Great Commission, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to see our world saved. So what I'm suggesting, what I'm trying to really lay heavy today so that we understand it is, the minute we're saved, power is turned on, and everything that I've just read about, all of those attributes of the Holy Spirit is plugged into us, ready to use. We just have to know how to use them. And that's the step of faith, and they're the things that we're going to talk about in the weeks and months ahead. By faith, we start using all that the Holy Spirit brings to us, the fruit of the Spirit. You notice it's not fruits, it's fruit. All of those nine are one. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, the power to witness, the ability to exalt and glorify Christ, the taste of the power to come, help with our prayer life, a new and a greater understanding of the Word, daily guidance. The Bible says, who are led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. Life to our mortal bodies. If you're not feeling well, if you know that there's things in your life that you are not tracking well in, then see the Spirit right now releasing that incredible life, quickening, making alive your mortal body, pouring out of God's love. You know, we need God's love in this world today. And then strength and increase to our faith. You know, next week I want to talk about moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to do that because I know it helps us to understand some of the things that we're going to hear in the weeks and months to come. But tonight, let's just take home the fact that we have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in us. We have everything and anything we need to do what God has called us to do. What an incredible thought. What an incredible potential. What an incredible honor. What an incredible privilege. Let me read to you again the Great Commission. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Can you imagine what our world would be like if every Christian right now started to do what God has given us the ability to do? We would see the world changed within a couple of years. There's no doubt about that. Father, I just pray that right now, that your word would sink deep into our hearts. And that, Lord, we would not argue your word just because it's different to what we've heard or believed before. But that we would just start to receive a fresh touch of your Spirit. Lord God, that there would be right now fresh revelation, fresh understanding. And Lord, if we're struggling with it, then I pray that as we mind the word ourselves, as we invite the Spirit to teach us, as we know as one of his attributes, that there would be a release of fresh power, fresh revelation. So, Father, have your way even now, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.